if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.humanitychurch.com. You can also download the Humanity Church app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the one word Humanity Church to 77977 or check out the giving option on the app. Enjoy this week's talk.
It's so good to be reminded of why we do things, because sometimes we get on autopilot. We show up here, we show up to your community group. Why do we do that? It's just what we do, okay? I don't wanna think about it. But today we're gonna think about it. So I'm encouraging you to really, really tune in. And if you haven't heard this, then awesome, we're excited that you came today because you get to know us right up front, okay? So there's a difference, right? We hear of contracts all the time, right? We're a society, a nation that loves a contract, right? We love it. Now, contracts are designed to protect two parties, right? And when someone breaks the contract, what happens? It's null and void. We're done, right? You broke this contract. The business is dissolved, whatever, X, Y, and Z. There's a legal recourse. There's a process we take to say, like, you screwed this up, so I'm out, right? And that's not what we're about here. We're not about contracts. We're about covenants. A covenant binds and bonds two people, and it helps us to define the relationship. And unlike a contract, when someone breaks a covenant, the covenant is not dissolved. It does not go away. That's why we call marriage a covenant, not a contract, right? Because if it were a contract, I mean, you would be divorced by week one, right? I mean, like, you screw up right away. At least I did. I don't know. Maybe you guys are perfect in your marriages, but I am not. And if that were the case, I would not be married, right? If it was a contract, you do this, I get to do this, and I'm out. But that's not what we do here. And that's not what God does with us either, right? Thank the Lord, because I don't even know, I think we would all be obliterated by now if he had a contract with us, because we screw up every day when we wake up, continue to do so all day. So thank God he does not make contracts with us. He makes covenants, and he always and forever holds up his end. Yeah. He always shows up. He never breaks it. It doesn't matter what we do or when we do it or how many times we do it. He is faithful. He is steady. And so that is awesome, and that is why a covenant is in play even when one party messes up or does something to violate the covenant. Now, it doesn't mean we're just like, oh, well, it's a covenant, I'm stuck here forever, right? We have processes to deal with those breaches, but it doesn't mean you're out, okay? And when we connect to Jesus, he creates a covenant with us, and almost simultaneously or immediately after, he creates a covenant with us and with other believers, yes. Right? So if you're here and you call this place your home, you're in a covenant with me. I'm in a covenant with you. We're all in a covenant together. We don't bail when things get hard, yeah. Right? So all these four areas that we're going to talk about are an investment. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to feel them as burdens. And I would like to flip that today, even in our minds, because there's power in just changing the way you view something. I would like to view it as a privilege. Not I have to, but I get to. This is helpful in my personal life when my kids are losing their ever-loving minds, like Scott alluded to, and I think, you know what? I get to be the person that teaches them how to deal with this. It's hard. I don't always do that. Sometimes I'm like locking myself in the bathroom and crying. But sometimes I think I get to do this. I even have to do this about changing my kids' diapers. I have 3 kids in diapers. I know, moment of silence. Thank you. I know that's the most like, there were gasps like, yes, 3 kids in diapers, which means I change upwards of 15 to 20 diapers a day. I know, you guys. And you know what? I have to tell myself, like, I get to do this. I get to do this. This gross, messy, extremely not glamorous job. No one cares about it. No one's like, wow, Kara, way to change those diapers, right? No, but I have to, in my head, I have to change the way I view this, that I get to do this. Otherwise, I'm ugly and I'm bitter. And it's something I have to do like every hour. So imagine what I would be like if I was like bitter about it. I would just be terrible. So when we talk about these investments, I would like us to view them as a privilege, as something that we get to do, not something that we have to do. And even just changing our minds about that will help us to really tackle these. Now, I keep saying things are an investment, right? An investment is something that you take time to think about. You pour into it. You move forward with it. It's not something you do once and you're like, well, I'm done. If you invested in your retirement one time, it would be disappointing, really, when you actually are ready to retire and you're like, well, I guess I got to die tomorrow or I got to keep working because I only invested one time and that didn't work out. We invest regularly, right, for something for the future. And what we invest in here at Humanity is we invest in the kingdom of God and we invest to bring the kingdom of God now. And we invest because we know it's going to make a difference in our future. That's why we take care of our kids here. That's why our kids are over there learning about Jesus, right? Because we're investing in the kingdom and they are the future of that kingdom. So that's what we're gonna do. We are creating an inheritance. And that means we need to put some effort in, okay? And our community doesn't work when some people are in and some aren't. It doesn't work when some people are committed to one thing and other people are committed to another. So today, consider this our opportunity to get on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, that's cool. Let's talk about it and we'll figure it out. But today is a chance to say, okay, this is what we do here. And if you're here, this is what we expect you to do. You get to do, and it's awesome. So we invest, the first thing is our passions. We invest our passions in all kinds of things, right? Look at somebody, what they spend their time doing and their money doing. That's probably what they're passionate about, right? We're passionate about sports. We're passionate about our hobbies. We're passionate about all kinds of things, right? And so we want to invest those passions here. And we also want to ask ourselves, does this passion move me towards holiness? And that's not to say you can't be a fan of a football team because it doesn't move you to holiness, right? That's cool. Do that. But that should not be it, right? That should not be the sum of your investment, right? That's cool to have a little part. I mean, I love to see people who are passionate about things, but the bulk of our passion needs to be pushing us towards a holy life. Not a perfect life, right? Not a perfect life, but we strive to be set apart. We have this saying here at Humanity about messing up, and it goes like this. You don't mess up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, you guys. That is not it. Can you imagine? People are like, I am out of here. That's not the saying. And if anybody here knows this, it's when we mess up, we fess up, right? It's not that we don't mess up, but when we do mess up, we own it. We say it, we deal with it, we say we're sorry, we do what we need to do to make it right. There's this awesome verse in 1 Thessalonians. If you guys have a copy of the scriptures, you can go ahead and open it up on your phone or whatever. If you need a hard copy of the scriptures, raise your hand. One of our awesome ushers would love to give you one to keep, to take home. It can be yours. So if you need one, someone up front needs one too. All right, I'll give you a second to get there. 1 Thessalonians. And we're gonna be in chapter 5, verses 4 through 8. Okay? It says this. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. This isn't saying that we never mess up. This is saying that not if we mess up, but when we mess up, what we do is we bring it to the light. When we keep things covered, it always leads to death. It always, every time, leads to isolation. It leads to almost doing more of it because you're hiding. It leads to shame, which is this ugly, ugly thing that God never wishes for you. It leads to destruction. And as tempting as it is to hide, I like to hide when I do something that I shouldn't have done, kind of like a two-year-old, you know? It's like they kind of cover, like, I have a two-year-old, and she, like, I'm like, who did this? And she's literally like this, and I'm like, dude, I can see you, like, you're right there, you know? But we do that. We laugh, but, like, really, we're with God. We're like, does he see me, you know? Yeah, he sees you. So coming clean and living in the light is always the right thing. And I am telling you, nothing you bring to the light is ever going to shock God. He is never going to say, oh, that's, nope, can't deal with that one. You're on your own. Never, ever, ever. And our promise here is that we won't do that either. If you bring something to the light, there will be no shame. There will be no get out of here. You don't belong here. There will be grace, and not just grace, but there will be support in conquering whatever it is that you need help with. When we bring stuff to the light, it loses its power, right? Because you can't have a dark room with light in it. I know that sounds silly, but like it's not possible, right? When you turn on the light on, the light's on and you can see. And then we can deal with it and we can move forward. And the whatever it is that you're struggling with loses its power, right? Because then the power goes back to you and to your community, and we are with you. In a practical way, who do we come clean to? We come clean to our community group, our C3 group. If you're not in a C3 group, I'm just gonna preface this whole message, like all of this involves being in a community group. That is like the path to connection and to love and to hope and to Christ in this community. These days are awesome, but I don't know, the hustle and bustle of a Sunday is a hard place to be like, I think I'm struggling with alcoholism as someone's like putting the chairs away, you know? So we have a community group, right? We have a place for you to be known, for you to be loved, and that would be the space that you would deal with those things, okay? So that's just a practical point in case you're wondering. And the community group will invite you to grace and to support and to recovery and to help. So it's awesome to bring those things out into the light. And this doesn't have to be like, I'm a drug addict. It can be like, I'm really selfish, or I'm yelling at my kids, or you know, I'm always taking the easy way out at work, or I'm struggling with this friendship and I don't want to have this conversation, right? We're not talking all these sometimes huge things. Sometimes it's just those day-to-day things about themselves that we like don't want people to know about. Like you have road rage, or I mean, just things like that, really. I mean, those are things that you can bring to your group and we can pray for you and we can help you. So just don't think that it's like has to be this huge thing for you to need support, right? We all need to confess and we all need support. All right, so invest your passion. That means to live a holy life, and when you mess up, you fess up every time, all right? The next one is to invest your service. We were made for service, right? That means worship, sharing, learning, and then serving. It says this in 1 Peter 4:10, pretty clearly. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I love that last part, in its various forms, because you guys are the various forms, yeah. Right? When you don't serve, we're missing your form, right? When you don't serve, we're missing what you have to bring. And it's something unique that no one else will bring. So if you don't bring it, guess what? It doesn't get brought. It's dead in the water. I mean, that does make you feel like, ooh, I maybe need to like step it up. It should. Just telling you right now, you should feel convicted. In love and grace. Okay. So service is a pathway to wholeness, and service comes from a mentality that you already have enough. When you're living in a scarcity mentality, what you do is you hang on to whatever you have really tight, whether that be your time or your money or your talents. You think, well, if I do that, then I can't do this. Or if I do that, maybe they're going to ask me to do more. Or I don't want to do that. I want to do that. You guys ever do that? I don't want to, right? Like, I mean, right? Again, back to being a two-year-old. I don't want to. It's like, oh, that's tough. Gotta get dressed. But we do this, right? Like, you just don't want to do it. And if we see ourselves as having enough, more than enough, the natural result is that we jump into serving. Because we know that what we have enough and we can give, but when we are having not enough, we're always going to take. We're always going to be looking to take when we feel like we don't have enough. And I don't know, it's just not good, right? And that's not what we're about here. We're creating something bigger than ourselves, right? It's great to have our own personal goals. I think everybody should. But when we bring them together, the collective is greater, yeah. Right? Us together is greater than just you. Right? We have more power. We have more resource. And it really nails at home in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. And it says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And then this part, here we go. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Whew. Spur one another on in love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, I feel like I don't even need to say anything about that, right? Like, they did a pretty good job here in the Bible. they're good, right? So we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This isn't like we force each other on or we shame each other to good deeds. We spur, we encourage, we push one another on to good deeds. And I guarantee you, the one who's doing the pushing to you is also being pushed, yeah. Right? It's not like we have people in this and they're like these people and it's like they're in charge of like, nope, we're all pushing each other. There's no hierarchy in this situation, right? It's all about community. One thing I love about community, it's one of the things that really attracted us to this church, is the freedom and creativity and how value that is here. If you're passionate about something, so are we. If you're passionate about something, we want you to run with it. You do not have to fill out forms and meet with 50 people and we'll say, okay, in 1 year after you've done, you know, maybe that's good. I don't know. That's not how I like to operate. If you're passionate and you have a vision, we want to come alongside you and run with you, right? It's not this system of like you only certain people can be passionate, only certain people get to run. You all get to run. If you're passionate about something, get going, get running, and we will run with you. And we can do so much more together than we can alone, and that's so cheesy. I know, I like rolled my eyes writing it, because it feels a little bit like a motivational, like, we're better together, hands in, everybody, right? I won't make you do that. It would be kind of fun, though. but I mean, really, it's true. Think like literally, even. Like, how much could you carry? I don't know. I'm not very strong. I can't carry very much. But imagine how much all of us, just in a very literal sense, could physically carry together. It's obviously more than I can carry by myself, right? So just even that alone tells you we're better together, right? It's countercultural, though, right? To live like that, to live thinking about other people. And even to have other people support you in what you're doing. I think we live in a society where it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's not going to work out, right? Do you guys ever, that I kind of get like that. I'm a little bit pessimistic, which I call realistic, but really I'm kind of just being a jerk. You know, like that won't work. They're not good at this, blah, 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 right? At least they're doing it. At least they're out there moving, trying. We support that here. My husband and I, we've adopted 4 kids, and we are so passionate about it. And if you've talked to us before, you probably know that because it just like oozes out of us. We just cannot help it. And the thing when you're passionate about something is you bring people in. And we, besides adopting 4 kids ourselves, we have had countless conversations with people about adopting. We have jumped into conversations with people. We have walked people through foster care. We have friends in our lives that like have children because they watched us adopt. And that's not to say, woo, the Murano, they're so great. No, we're not great, really. Come to our house anytime and you'll be like, oh, they're just like us. They're frustrated and, you know, tired and all these things. But what it did do is it says, whoa, that person is passionate. And you know what happens when someone's passionate? It's like a flame. And people just move right to it. They move right to it. And so here, if you're passionate, let's do this. And this is the thing when we talked in the last point about being holy and set apart. This is what sets us apart. That we are not about ourselves. We're not even about building up this church, right? We're about how can we invest our life to serve other people. And that's when people are like, what is wrong with these people? Why do they give so much? Why are they so generous? Why are they doing this instead of that? And then you get to say, like, it's because Jesus, he wrecked my life. And now, right. You know, I mean, really, like, he ruined it. And now I can't not do that because I've seen. Yes. I've seen the light. Do you ever, Mark and I, my husband, have these conversations where we're like, don't you wish you could just go back? Yeah. To when you were, like, a little bit ignorant. And then once your eyes are opened, you just can't close them. And yeah, it's like that. And that's what attracts people to Jesus, right? Is that like, wow, they are weird. They are giving everything. What is up with those people, right? Because if we're just like everyone else, what's attractive about that? Nothing. Then we're just like everybody else, but we have to do all these church things on top of regular people stuff, right? It's like, wait, I would live the same life and I like can't sleep in on Sunday? No, I'm good. Thanks. Those Jesus people are just masochists. They just love to do all the things for no purpose. But that's not us. We're not going to do that. We're going to live an uncommon life and people are going to be attracted to that. All right, next one. We're moving through these, all right? Invest your resources. You guys know what resources are, right? This is the conversation no one likes to hear about. Churches try to like... I feel like either churches really step around this money talk or they like dive right in and like guilt you to like giving money. And we won't do either of those things here. But the scriptures call us to generosity. We're to be producers, not consumers, right? Consumers, what do? Just take, 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 take. Producers create, they give. And I will tell you that that's not how it is here. We have a community of producers. We have a community of doers, of givers. And the cool thing about giving, and I love that we get to talk about giving like every week before we do our offering, that someone comes up here and gives us a thought about giving. It's such a good reminder. But what giving does is it transforms the temporary, which is your money, right? Because it's temporary. And it moves it into the eternal, right? So like, what is $500 is like pipes for a hospital in the Ukraine, yeah. Right? Which like keeps people alive and warm. And what is thousands and thousands of dollars to us is that our dear friend and partner, Alex, gets to live in Thailand full-time to fight sex trafficking, yeah. Right? That's like money that is transforming into something that is just beyond powerful and something that is not temporary, something that we will see the effects of here for generations to come and in the kingdom of God and in heaven, like the real heaven after you die, right? So this is happening. When we give, we get to take this like insignificant thing that sometimes has so much power over us and we get to say like, you don't have any power over me. You don't have any power over me because I know that these dollars are gonna be transformed into something way bigger, way bigger than what I could ever do with it. So the way we give is biblical. It's called a tithe. It's 10%. Just put that out there, right? We give 10% of our income. That's like the starting point, the minimum. It doesn't mean you can never give more. It also doesn't mean that if you can't give 10%, you should just not give anything, right? I guarantee you no one here is, knows how much money you make, first of all. Second of all, no one is checking and saying, oh, this person didn't give their 10%. Oh my gosh, like, what are we gonna do with them? Or this person gave 20%, like, they're amazing. We're gonna, like, name something after them and they're just way better than everyone else. Nope. Give 1%, give 50%. I mean, you're not getting anything special either way. But I'm sorry, guys. Good things Nathan's not here. He's going to be like, you're out, girl. You're out. hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Giving isn't for us as humanity. Like, we don't want and need your money. Like, we're like, please give us your money. You guys give for yourselves to change your own heart, to change your own priorities, to change your own understanding of what your resources are, yeah. Right? So you give what you can. If you truly cannot give 10%, we don't care, you guys. It is not about the percent, right? It is not, we are not legalistic. If you can give 1%, give 1%. But don't throw your hands in the air and say, oh, I don't have any money, I can't give 10%, just screw it, I'm not giving anything, right? No. Because giving, no matter the amount, changes your heart, and that's what we're after, right. Okay? All right, so we're going to read this verse. It's kind of like a parable, and it's about giving, and it's a really, really powerful one, and it's in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. It's 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is what I was talking about right here. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We get to give. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's why we give, right? So that God gets the glory. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for their obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Dang. I think sometimes we read that first part about reaping what we sow, and if you sow generously, you reap generously. And there's this idea, maybe you've heard it in the Christian world, and it's kind of like the prosperity gospel. Like, if you give, you will be given back, right? And they're talking about money. They're talking about if you give to God, you will be able to buy a boat, which is the desire of your heart. Yes. If you give to God, you can buy that house. You can do these things. You can spend this money. You can go on that vacation. And that's not the reality, right? That's not how it works, sadly. My husband and I have given 10% of our income I don't even know, since we were at least married. And before that, I gave my 10%. And I will tell you that we've had years of like having $10 in our bank account. We were giving, right? It wasn't like we weren't being faithful. And it isn't this situation where if you give, then, oh, you'll be so financially blessed. Now, we were blessed in other ways, and we always had enough, but it didn't work in the way that sometimes we want to work, that if I give, I'll get money back. That's not how it works. That's not the miracle, right? The miracle isn't that we give and we get more. The miracle is that God has already given it to us. Right? Because when we're fighting with ourselves about like giving back, it's it's crazy because if we stopped and thought, it's like, oh wait, God gave me all of that, all of it. And I'm like trying to like fight him about 10%. And he's like, dude, I gave you all that, right? It's crazy. So he sustains us off the 90%. Okay, we're creating something bigger. A few weeks back, Nathan talked about how love and sacrifice are intertwined, whether we like it or not. You can't have real love without real sacrifice. And think of somebody you love, or even someone you like a lot. You sacrifice for them without hesitation. Maybe with hesitation, okay? But that's okay. That's okay to hesitate, you guys. God gives us grace. I hesitate, like, when my kid wants, like, some of my special chocolate. Do you guys, moms, maybe, do you keep, like, your own? Mine's, like, way up in the pantry. And I, like, usually, like, eat it in there. Like, I'm, like, hiding, you know? I'm, like, and it's, like, some kid, like, what are you eating? I'm, like, nothing. It's vegetables. It's my broccoli stash. Every mom has a broccoli stash, you guys. It's my vitamins. Right? So maybe I hesitate a little. And we might hesitate a little bit if our friend is going through a hard time and it's 10 o'clock and they need to meet or they need to talk on the phone and what you really want to do is sit on the couch, watch Netflix, or you want to go to bed. But we sacrifice, right? It's when, man, someone needs a ride because their car broke down, but it's so inconvenient for you. We sacrifice, right? We sacrifice because we love. And I will tell you for a fact, with total confidence, that the financial resources that you give here make exponentially bigger impact than you can imagine, okay? So we have a loft space where people meet, youth mentors meet. We send people all over the globe with your dollars. We invest in Pomona with your dollars. I believe it 100% that when you give here, you are changing the temporary into the eternal, and that's what we're about. Last thing, I promise. Invest your relationship. It's all about people. What's the name of this church? Humanity, right? That's why they picked it, right? We're all about people. We are all about people. We're all about connecting humanity to the one who created it, okay? And rinse, repeat, do it again until everybody knows Jesus. We bring the kingdom of heaven to the here and to the now. We need to have community that can support us in our faith. You guys, if you are not in community, you are missing out on pieces of Jesus. We get the pleasure of hosting our community group. This is awesome. People show up at our house every Wednesday night. And sometimes we show up and people have had bad weeks or they've had great weeks or they're grouchy or like, some weeks, my introvert self is like, oh my God, I have to pick up my house and people are coming over and I just don't want them to. Okay? You guys are supposed to be like, yeah, me too. No, everyone else is selfish. So now my community group are like, oh, Kara hates us. I don't hate you. I just really like my space. But every week, it doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter. We do it, right? And just this past week, nothing insane. But we were in our time of listening. And listening, if you guys haven't been to community group, you need to plug in. It's a time where we pause and we hear from God. We hear like the actual voice of God, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. He shows up at our group, in our living room. You guys, it's freaking insane. And this particular week, we just had so much encouragement happen. So much encouragement that it was like, oh, that was Jesus. Because there is no way any of us could have done that. And we marveled after. It was like, isn't it crazy that all of us screwed up people show up and God speaks through us? Yeah. Like, it's crazy. And if you haven't experienced that, go to a community group, okay? The other thing we talked about was that if it's not, again, remember about taking always, it's about giving. And taking and receiving are the same thing. So both, no. Although you do also give and receive. But what we were talking about is that if someone that was there hadn't showed up, we would have been deprived of that piece of God. Yeah. It's not about showing up and checking something off your list. Yep, I go to my community group, I go to church on Sunday, check, check, check. Nope, it's not about that. It's that if you don't show up, there's a piece of God that doesn't show up. And people miss out on God, and we don't want that to happen, okay? Now, this doesn't stop here in our little church. If we didn't have community outside of our church, it's like the Great Commission says, therefore I command you to build lots of churches and invite people to them if they believe and act like you. And then you stay in that church with all your other Christian friends until the very end of the age. That's how it goes, right? That's how I'd like it. If I'm being honest, I would like that a lot better than what it actually says. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says this. Jesus came to them and said, all authority. You guys, do you know all authority? Do you know what that means? That means all the authority that God has, like he gave to us, okay? So that's crazy. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to you, to all of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are meant to share what we have. This is not a country club. This is not a place for you to come and to never bring anyone to. There's this tendency sometimes in the church when someone joins to be like, suck them into our bubble. And we're like, we're going to keep you so busy. You're never going to see your family. Your friends are sinners. Like, you need to ditch them and come do Bible studies with us. Like, gosh, be not of the world, okay? But no, we want to move out. We want to move out, connecting people to Jesus, to unbelievers. Not alone. Jesus never went alone. The disciples never went alone. We do this together. There are no lone wolves in the community. There are no lone wolves in this place called humanity, even if we want to be, because that's where I moved to. I have a tendency to be like, I can do this. I don't need anybody. I got this. I don't want to ask for help. And that's a shame, because people want to help. People want to jump in. People want to serve you. And when you withhold that from them, they're missing out too. So show up. Make relationships, get out of your comfort zone. And I guarantee you that you will see your life change because of it. When we covenant together, we're bound together. This is countercultural in a world where relationships kind of come and go, like, oh, she was rude to me, we're not friends anymore. Or, you know, I don't really like them. I don't really like what they believe about politics. I don't really like this. We disagree here. Okay, cool, that's not gonna fly here. When something is hard, you stay in it. You lean in. When someone makes you mad, which they will because we're people, you talk to them. You move through it, you lean in, you do not run away. That is not an excuse to say, I'm done, right? Because we're in a covenant. We are not in a contract, and we get to do this. We get to create the kingdom of God together. It's not a burden, it's an honor. I want to read this last verse, and then we're going to be done. It sums it up. It's in Ephesians 4, and it's the first 5 verses, 1 through 5. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Oh my God, you guys, we got to be so patient, okay? So patient. Bearing with one another in love. That does not say like joyfully, it's so peaceful in love. No, bearing. That means sometimes you're like, okay, all right, I'm going to love this person even though I really want to be done. I really want to write them off. You don't get to do that, okay? You got to bear. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, and you've all been called. If you're here, you've been called, okay? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So let's invest those things. Let's remember that we get to. We don't have to. We get to, and it is a privilege. You guys pray with me. God, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for letting us further your kingdom, God. May we always remember what a gift it is. That it's not a burden you place upon us, but a privilege you lay in front of our feet, Jesus. That we get to bring your message of love to the world. That we get to show up when it's hard. That we get to do things that we're passionate about and we love to do, God. We thank you for being here, for loving us, even when we mess up all the time. Thank you for creating a covenant and not a contract. Thank you, God, for being who you are, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're so grateful for you, and we just pray that you will make yourself evident throughout our week and that we will be wise enough to pay attention to what you're saying. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Humanity Church app to continue interacting with the community at Humanity. Thanks, and have a great week.